As we open our prayer meeting, you might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, and in the light of the predicted weather, snow and wind and very cold, that was predicted and in part, depending on where you live, that has happened. So we're living right now in the reality of the weather forecast of yesterday. True? Forecast yesterday. And we're living in the reality of it, reality of that right now. Now, that'll help you because that's where we're going. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And in the light of Jeremiah, remember, it's coming to a termination of the Israel's condemnation, termination of condemnation, Israel's. And God is going to show the nations, Babylon, etc., their future. Now, in the light of Jeremiah 23, we share together that the Lord Jeremiah and God are dealing with the false prophets and the priest. And we share together that in chapter 23 and verse 11, so you don't have to guess at that. And we share together that God was judging and Israel was not paying attention at all. And the false prophets were talking about all kinds of wonderful things, or a lot of opinions and stuff, saying God had given them insight and light and they stood before God. And God said they never, never, never stood before me. And all that they're saying, I have never said. Verse 18. So when we came to verse 19, there was a great whirlwind, and we took time to look at that, God's way to tell you something's going to happen, and it won't be passive whirlwind. It's going to be active. Tornado. Moving. So it's not going to be a quiet thing. It's going to be an awesome thing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, when we come down to verse 20, and the anger of the Lord shall not return. Now, God's set the course. The people have set their heart. And the anger of the Lord, the anger of the Lord, the fury of the Lord, shall not turn away, verse 20, shall not return, shall not turn away, will not turn back. In other words, it's going to finish what it starts out to do. And it's going to remain. It isn't going to disappear. It's going to finish. Now, as we're doing this, just keep other pieces in mind. If you would, what do we know? We're in right now the day of grace, God's grace to us. And we know in 2 Peter 3, God is long before being angry. So he's waiting. His grace, God's waiting, but it's going to come, he's long before being angry. Long-suffering. He's long before being angry, but he's going to be angry. Here with Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, God's waited all these years with these different kings, Zedekiah, etc., the last king on the throne. And in the process, God has waited. Now, what do we know about our own day? We're in a day of grace, which is going to be how long? Until he comes. God, what are we waiting for? What is going to happen? God's wrath. God waited, and grace, but you can count tomorrow is God's wrath. Are people sensitive to that? No. God waited. Well, he's angry, and he is. But he's being gracious long before being angry. But the anger is going to end, and the wrath of God is going to come. Historically, hang on to that. Now, having said that a little bit, verse 20, and the anger of the Lord shall not return, not turn back, until he have executed to accomplish the artisan, finishing the job, finishing the painting, finishing the building, finishing whatever the plan is. So God, you're going to finish the plan, I am, and until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. God, you're going to perform, you're going to make them happen, you're going to make them all come to pass. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to cause it to happen. It's a causative verb. He's going to make it all happen. That's what he's going to do. So you say, what's going to make it happen? God's going to make it happen. And if God's going to make it happen, count on it. Count on it. The world can't make things happen. They try to. But when God says it, now. So therefore, he performed his thoughts to stand in a place, to execute, to make firm, to fulfill, to perform, etc. And you're going to fulfill all those thoughts of his heart, thoughts of his heart, in the latter days, the thoughts that he's thinking, in the latter days, the days that are coming, they're coming. They haven't come yet, but they're coming. And God is going to tell you, think of prophecy, and you read the prophets, etc. And it said, and the last days, etc., etc. Now, so here in verse 20, the thoughts of his heart in the latter days, he shall consider it perfectly. So all these thoughts, God, you have, and God has been, is God going to judge Jerusalem? He said it 5,000 times, it seems, and he's going to do it. Now, he said, I'm going to do that. And I told you what I'm going to do. I told you, I'm going to tell you, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, going to serve. He's going to be my rod to spank, if you would. And in the process, I'm going to use him. Now, so here's Jeremiah telling us, reminding us, God using him, to remind us that God is going to do exactly what he said. The trouble is, they don't believe that. They don't believe it. They don't believe. No, it isn't going to really happen. And they don't want to believe it. They don't want to hear it. And they want to get rid of Jeremiah for saying it. So here he is. And they aren't going to pay attention. Now, what are you saying, God, that needs to be understood by whoever will listen? The end of verse 20, in the latter days, God just said, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing until it's finished, till it's accomplished its purpose. Now, having said that, do you understand what I have told you is really, truly going to happen? It's going to occur. And, by the way, the end of verse 20, in the latter days, not now, you guys are going to end up, Nebuchadnezzar's coming in. He's on his way, as it were. He's coming in and going to level the city, burn the city, slaughter the people. It's going to be a very, very difficult time. Now, having said that, it's all going to happen in the days coming up. And you are going to live through it. And you know what? When that happens, all that I have been telling you will maybe click in your little heart and head. I told you what would happen, and it happened. It actually happened. Now, when it happens, you're surely going to know it. They aren't going to destroy my house or my kitchen or my work. But he is. And when the house is destroyed and the work is buildings are destroyed and your employment's destroyed and the city's destroyed, you know what? If you want to keep denying it, don't. because it's very obvious it's no more. That's what's going to happen. So unfortunately, God, for us, most things, God tells us, that's what we're looking at, we get the encouragement for that. God's telling us that the things that are going to happen, I tell you them, and then, but people don't believe them, and they can write about them, do things, but they don't believe. So, but God said, when it happens, you'll surely know it's for real. Now, having said that little bit, and before we take that little sentence apart, in the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. Now, in order to get that, just hold your finger here and go over with me to Daniel and chapter 2. Among all kinds of places, I'm just going to give you one of them. Now, God, you say it over and over. You say it. You tell people. It's for certain. So here's Daniel chapter 2. And we start off verse 31 with the image of in the man, the head, of gold and Babylon, and slide all the way down. Now, as we slide down through history, here's the king of Babylon. King of Babylon gets 7 years, etc. He gets in the animal as a field, and he gets back into power, etc. And all of that. Now, he's all back in power, and then his grandson or whatever comes in, Belshazzar comes in, and in the process, God is going to judge Babylon, and Babylon is judged. God tells us they're going to leave the gate open down where the water comes out, and that's where they're going to sneak in and open the gates, and Media Persia is going to conquer Babylon, etc., etc. Now, you told them all that. I did. It's all written down. Now, so what happens? Here comes Media Persia, and here comes Cyrus, etc., and here it comes. Now, can we read about that in history? Can we turn the pages of history and read about it? Sure we can. And then Media Persia is going to be replaced by Greece, in particular Alexander the Great. And can we read about Alexander the Great and his conquest? Yep. Did it happen? Absolutely. And the Roman Empire, Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, we can read all about that. And Roman Empire wasn't particularly conquered like other nations and was divided up and never conquered thoroughly. And so here's the European Union, the legs of iron, Europe, Rome, I should say, and then the feet of iron and clay, toes of iron and clay. All of that is still there, and we can go all the way now to the toes. You couldn't go to the toes 30 years ago, but you can go to the toes now. Go to the toes, the 10 nations, Europe. You can do that now. Wow. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, and understanding so we read history, and we were able to see all of it has occurred and is occurring. And you say, well, it isn't. I don't see the 10, there's 20, 25, whatever it is, Mediterranean area and all of that. And all of those come and go, and they're manipulating money, and Greece, and Italy, and France, and Germany, and all of them, and England, and there they are. Now, so here they all are there, and we can see that. Now, if you say, do you see the final 10? No, you don't. Is it going to happen? Absolutely. And God, are you going to tell us, before any of it happened, you put it down in writing by way of the prophet Daniel. So therefore, chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that's the kingdom of our Lord's, the millennial kingdom, and that it break in pieces, conquered, the Lord at his second coming conquers the whole nations, including the iron, the brass, the Rome, all the way, all of them are all outworked, each one in the other. The iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation of is sure. And Nebuchadnezzar, if you believe it, you'll read, pay attention. Nope, Nebuchadnezzar had to go through the cycle, but you know, it's all sure and all certain. God, you keep saying that over and over. I do, he said, I do. Do remember now when you read Revelation, you don't have to turn there, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed are he, is he, she, whoever it is that readeth these words. Blessed are they, this prophecy. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Blessed are you if you understand. Back over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And you would recall, here we are looking at the verse 23, chapter Jeremiah, and verse 20, I'm sorry. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 20. 23:20. And therefore, the end of the verse, the perfect perform the thoughts of his heart in the latter days, he shall consider it perfectly. That's two, a verb and a noun, and what it means to consider perfectly. To consider with oneself, reflexive, to mark out, to attend, to show oneself attentive, to show oneself having perception, to show oneself understanding, to show oneself in the know, verse 20, and consider, that's perfectly. Perfectly now, what do you mean perfectly? Well, it's the same, only a noun, perfectly, with understanding. I want you to understand with understanding. I want your understanding to be clear. In the latter days, when this happens, are you going to have a clear understanding in your little head of everything that I told you? And it will happen. And now, so that's the word. Perfectly, perfectly, perfectly. To understand, to have the insight, to be able to have an intimate understanding, insight. Now, in the light of that, over to Jeremiah and chapter 19. Now, they should have had it, but they didn't. So when we come to chapter 19, you remember, God had told them all these things. And in chapter 19, verse 50, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. So, God, you're going to, he said it. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. And picking up, please, in verse 8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I see before you the way of life. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans, to the surrenders, and that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey, a spoil. Verse 10, for I have set my face against this city for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Now, God, you said all that. If anyone was listening, what's our future as we go and have lunch sitting at the table in Jerusalem? Our future isn't very bright, and that's what you'd tell your family, wouldn't you? You'd tell your family that things aren't going to be good here, and so you better look to God and trust him. But they weren't doing that. They weren't doing that at all. And chapter 23, and in verse 17, they say, "Still unto them that despise me," the false prophets, "the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." In other words, there is no famine, there is no massacre, there is no burning of the city, there is no pestilence. None of it's going to happen. Ah, but God said, when it happens, are you going to know it? Now, why did you have to wait till you fell down and broke your leg when I told you, walk carefully because you're going to break your leg up ahead? And you should have been conscious of what could happen, but you didn't. Now, that's just not a very good illustration, but you got the idea. 2 Kings. And in chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25, may I pick up the thought in verse 8. Now this is, remember, the end. When you come to the end of Kings, you're reading about Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, historically. In Jeremiah, you're reading prophetically what's going to happen. And it did happen. He's living there. But here's the history. 2 Kings 25, verse 8. And in the month, the fifth month of the seventh day of the month, that is in 586 B.C., which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He's going to be 24 more years, but Nebuchadnezzar has been king for 19 years before. So think of 605 and 597, and he's been a king for 19 years. In his 19th year, he's coming to level the city. Watch. 19th year, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. He was the king's general. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And verse 10, and all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. And we just read, if people were smart enough to surrender, they would have saved themselves, but they didn't. God said, you aren't going to win. You better surrender to the enemy, and they didn't do it. Now, but God, the thing is surely going to happen, and there's no question. The trouble is no one is paying attention. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And you will note, if I can, now, in the light of that, I'm going to read the end of verse 20. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. With understanding, you'll understand. I want you to have understanding that understand. Don't say, I understand. I want you to truly understand. Now, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now say, let's put that together. Here we are. Here they are listening to all of these things that God said, the Bible says, God said. All of this stuff is going on all over the place about prophet, priest, kings, and Jeremiah himself. Now, having said that, God said, I never sent any of them. What do they need to know? Verse 22. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and their evil and the evil of their doings. They would have turned around, because if all you guys lined up and said the same thing, there would have been no confusion. If everyone would say the same thing and agree with what God has said, then what would everyone hear? They'd be able to hear it with their ears and see it with their eyes. That's what it says. Everyone says it. So therefore, it's very influential. And when God says, so you've got the Bible. So God, people say all kinds of things. This is going to happen. Global warming, baloney. The world's going to come. What's one of the presidential ladies said? The world's coming to an end in 12 years. Oh, I'd vote for her. Now, so you got all of this stuff. Wow, all of it. Yeah. Stay with the book. God said, I said it, read it, and believe it. But this is their thing. It doesn't matter what they think. When I say there's going to be 10 kings or 10 horns out of Europe, then you better believe it. You say, well, it can't happen. It won't happen. Then they come up with all these other solutions. Hold it. It's going to happen. Why don't you just stick with what I said, and you'll be safe. Wow. Now, so here we are, and in the process, and by the way, with that in mind, I want you, whenever God says something, you'll want to listen. That's why we read the Bible, I hope. We try to read the Bible a lot. We take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we want to understand, when we reach down and look at to pull something up to look at it, guess what's attached to it? All of the strings come up. So when I pull it up, all of these things come up with it. That's why it's there, because all these other things attached, understand? That's why it's there. So if you need to understand it from God's understanding. So there's no question. You don't have to play with it or wonder or dream about it. It just is. Now, so when, go back, I'll give you another illustration, you know. Here's Jonah, and Jonah understood, he knew, like Moses, God is a holy, holy God, and Nineveh is an evil, evil, evil nation. Yeah, but God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, God's man, didn't want to go. Now, God, when you send someone to Nineveh, you must have a purpose. So when you told them to go and preach to Nineveh, guess what? You ought to have some good results. And for 150 years approximately, they went, and God kept the city another 150 years. Did they get saved? No. But they changed. They fixed everything. Just like the days of the, in the early company with the, all Whitfield and all those people in the early days of our country. And they would go and preach, and people would, that's why they didn't like them when they came, because the bar rooms lost the money, all the other things lost money, because people changed. That's what happened. You don't have that anymore, but you did. That's what, in that day. And they came, and things happened. Now, God, when Jonah goes, what's going to happen? Nineveh is going to repent. You know, when God told Paul, don't go to Bethany. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't go to that. Well, I'm going to go there and bring the gospel. No, don't go there. The Spirit of God said, don't go there. It's the wrong time. I want you to go over here. Go where I tell you to go. Because I know when things are ready. We got to witness to everybody. There's no question we should be a good testimony to all of them. But everyone that comes to the table to serve me a hamburger, make believe, or you, whatever, I don't give them a track. Because sometimes it's obvious that it isn't a track. And I watch tracks being given over the years, so you learn, get educated. I watch them getting thrown in the wastebasket. So I'm not interested in that. So I'm looking for God, and then if the waitress waiter or waitress yells at me, I know it's not the time. But if the waitress is congenial and everything, and they're whatever, and I'm there, and I don't mind giving them a tract. And I tell them, even sure, give it to them perhaps. Because they did that. We're a good waiter, waitress. And we did that. So you're picking, you can't do it to everyone all the time. You have to be alert and be sensitive. A time to do it, a time not to do it. And that's what you have to do. Now God, when God's in it, it happens. It happens. If God's is, so we're doing a whole lot of things because we want to do them for God. Hold it. Did God tell you to do that? Are you sensitive enough to God to know the difference? And if you aren't sensitive enough to God, then you won't know the difference. That's all. You don't know the difference. Now, God honors our ignorance, there's no question, in the sense that he understands it. So here, Jeremiah, they would have heard my words, and that's the thing I'd like you to get a handle on. When God, if you're saying it, it's going to be, God, if you're, I'm looking for you, God, and I'm going to honor, I know if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what's it say? You'll be saved. That's what I know. So I can tell you that with great authority. You could tell anyone that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's true. And your sins are forgiven. That's true. That's true. If you want to have an ear to hear, think of 2 Timothy 4 and 16. Take heed unto what? Take heed unto yourself. Always stop with yourself. Make sure you're correct in what you're thinking and what you're doing and your heart's right. And when that is all in right place, then you can go in that place, in that atmosphere. You'll be able to give a word of hope and help to those that have an ear to what? Hear. And if they don't have an ear to hear, just keep going. Save yourself. Otherwise, you spend a lot of time, I'm going to help people, I'm going to make this ministry go. But if it isn't God's, if it isn't of God, you'll be there 20 years. Why not stay tuned, sensitive? So be a good steward of your time. Wow. So now, God, here we are looking, and God tells them, God tells us of that, here we are, we want to learn from it. God, do I have to wait till everything happens before I believe you? That's the question. I'm going to read your word. You told me to look forward to your coming at any moment. Am I going to believe it or not? If I believe it, I benefit. Otherwise, you're going to have to let it happen. And when it let it happens, you won't have time to figure it all out. There's no time for you to fool with it, fast at all. So either believe or you don't. Well, I don't. Then consider. You'll understand it perfectly when it happens. You could know it and have the benefits, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Now, having said that little bit, and in the light of all of those things, over 02, oh, God help us. Over to, in the light of that. Over to, well, you're here to warm your heart. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, picking up, please, and you would recall it. Here's our Lord dealing with the heart of the people, and in the process, if I can pick up, please, in verse, oh, I'm going to give you a little more background if I can, chapter 24, verse 25. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe what? All that the Scriptures have spoken. What were they doing? They were reading false, believing false prophets. They were not believing God's word. Problem. I'm listening. I listen to that radio message. I listen to some. It's all right. If it's good, fine. If it's on target, otherwise, pick off and get the best you can. Now, so here we are looking, and God believed. So we got the Bible in front of us. So we're beneficiaries, the wind, snow, and everything else. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It's not that Genesis 3:15, he had to be crucified. Wasn't he? Yes. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went and gave them verse after verse, page after page, which they knew from the synagogue and all of that. They knew. And God said, listen, didn't I tell you this? Didn't I tell you this? And now you're experiencing me after my crucifixion standing in front of you. You knew all this stuff and you didn't believe it. And I'm standing in front of you, he said. And he rehearsed for them. What? All the things that they should have known so that they would have had a little more encouragement instead of being sad and depressed and heading home. Now, having said that little bit, so they went, remember, to their home. They invited him in, obviously, as good host and hospitality. And verse 31. And as they sat there, I'll read verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, food, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And I remember now, if you were the host, you serve. But he took over the house. He took over the house. He took over as the host. And he served the bread. And he served it up. And he blessed it. Ah, yes, he did. Now, does that got their attention. And their eyes were opened, verse 31, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. That's all he wanted them to know. I gave you the scriptures. I told you what you should have known. I'm standing in front of you for real, the fulfillment of them all. You'll have a certainty. You understand with understanding now. And he broke the bread and handed them the bread. It's him. And he was gone. Was that sufficient? Absolutely. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us? He talked with us what was he doing? He was rehearsing the scriptures that they should have known. And they began to put pieces together that they had for years of their life, maybe. And finally, they're putting them together. What do you have to wait so long for? Therefore, verse 32, and he talked with us, by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures. And he talked with us, by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures. And that's what moved them. And they rose up the hour and ran back to Jerusalem, all the way back during the night, all the way back to tell him. That's exciting. The obstacles, the hard things, all disappeared. Why? Because they understood. They had understanding. So they were excited. The weather, the snow, the sleet, the rain, the wind, that's immaterial. I got it, God. Wow. You mean what you say, and say what you mean, and it's true. It always is true. That's right. Wow. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, you want to slide your eye over. Remember now they come in the upper room, and behold his hands, verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that is, it is I myself, handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood, as ye see me have. So make it real. You can't get any better, God. You're telling them to touch, handle, eat, taste. They get all excited, for real. It's really, really, really true what you've said. That's right. And therefore, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed, while they yet believed not for joy, they're so excited, and wondered, he said unto them, to even lock it in, have you here any food? Food. Now, there can't be a ghost. Ghosts don't eat like ghost. We think of ghost. And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them, and he sat and ate. He ate honey and some fish. Wow. And verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Why? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the Psalms, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, there's your little word, he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. He helped them. For real. It became real. It is real. The trouble is, our hands are real, our work is real, the snow is real, the wind is real, everything's real. And the things that are real, we don't think about. We don't think about the sound waves in the air, they're real. Your heartbeat beating away is real. The blood moving in great speed through your tubes and capillaries and everything. Wow, all of that's real. But we don't think about it. God is real. Wow.